Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It is For Love of Food on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And it is still under a lockdown. Hope you're staying home and drastically limiting the number of errands that you're doing. And we'll be at a point, I think, in a fairly near future, another week or two, where it will be much, where I'll have more confidence going to stores and things if people are wearing masks and we have some testing going on of beyond just the people who are the most ill in the hospital and the hospital employees that have to try to deal with all the coronavirus patients. They need to be prioritized for testing, but it needs to be rolled out for the general public. So we finally have an idea where we stand. We don't know where we stand right now. And as I said last hour, I have zero confidence in the number of cases being reported for Minot County, for New York State, for any state, much less the entire United States. There's so little testing going on. So many people are being told, yeah, you probably have the virus, go home, stay home, and only call us if you can't breathe. Those people aren't being tested. So the number of cases that are reported is largely an irrelevant number. They might as well just throw darts at a dartboard. Is it 400? Is it 800? Is it? It's obviously not less than 400 because those are the positive tests. But how many more is it? It is likely to be far more than that, given the experiences of other countries. And by far more, I mean adding one or two zeros to that number. Many people don't show symptoms. Many people have very, very light symptoms and yet can transmit this virus. And so, as I said last hour, wear a mask to protect other people in case you have it. And we hope that those other people will wear a mask to protect you, protect me, protect other people that are out in public, whether it's at the grocery store or, last week I had to go to the hardware store to get a new handle for the toilet. Things break and you gotta get them fixed. And hopefully more people will wear masks now that the CDC is recommending it finally, after far too much back and forth on it. So wear masks, and a lot of restaurants are offering takeout. Roarbox has, they stopped doing takeout for a week and then kind of rethought the way they were doing it, have a much more limited menu, and that's probably a really good idea if you are going to do takeout. Not try to replicate what people have in the restaurant, which is potentially a lot of work and far more difficult. Just you need more staff in the kitchen to try to replicate an entire menu. Cut back on the number of offerings, streamline things in the kitchen so that there's a safe distance between the people working in the kitchen. Be very careful about the curbside service and limiting contact, again, to protect the employees as well as to to protect the customers. So it's, again, a lot of restaurants are offering takeout. If you do it, I would recommend that you get multiple meals so that you can freeze some of them. And you know, I got a bunch of meals from Ristorante Lucano. I think I got four lasagna meals and three of their filet mignon, which is really delicious. And while I tend toward vegetarian, not everyone does, so wanted to get some a meat dish. And so, you know, I went to the restaurant, got I think seven meals, I guess, in this case, and I got eight because I got a couple of gnocchi also. And these things freeze beautifully, and I've got I still have several corned beef dinners from Aunt Rosie's when they were offering those. Fantastic corned beef that Seth Ryder Lindahl did. And so, you know, with visits to two restaurants, I have basically, you know, I got like 12 entrees I take that back, probably 14 entrees. And each of those entrees, restaurants have fairly large portions. I stretch them a little bit with some, you know, side dishes and fruit and vegetables and things. So each of those is, each of the entrees is actually serving two people. And 28 meals in two visits to restaurants. So that's a great way to at least limit your exposure and exposure of the restaurant by getting more than just tonight's food. And unfortunately, I think that's, as I said last week, I think that's what most people are doing. They're just getting dinner for tonight, and then they'll go to a different restaurant and get takeout tomorrow night. And I'm not sure that helps tremendously with the social distancing if you are going out every day and getting a meal or two takeout. It's a small risk each time, and you're again risking both the employees of the restaurant and yourself if you go out and do this and are not wearing masks or not being careful. So you try to limit that. When you go to the grocery store, you don't get the food for that day. You get enough for maybe for the week. And that this kind of planning is going to make a difference over the next several weeks as we try to flatten the curve. So I had some great meals. The vegetarian lasagna from Lucano was so much cheese in it. It was outrageously good and an awesome sauce. And then the gnocchi also, really delicious. And you know, again, you can stretch these into additional meals pretty easily. Now, over the last week, been doing some cooking in the house, and one of the key cookbooks that we've been using is from Sofra Bakery and Cafe in Boston. And this is Middle Eastern food. They have a cookbook called Sofra Miz, M-I-Z. S-O-F-R-A is the restaurant, Sofra Bakery and Cafe. And it is a small place, cool-looking place, sort of Art Deco exterior, and then just busy and all kinds of pastries and other dishes to choose from. It's not a very formal place. And this cookbook is really good, and they have their spicy tomato sauce that they use with shakshuka, and we've been making this and just having it with other things, because it's going to be the best tomato sauce I've ever had. Really, it may have to do with the amount of garlic in it. It has quite a bit of garlic in this tomato sauce. So the ingredients in this tomato sauce include olive oil, diced tomatoes, some fresh squeezed lemon, but a couple of the key ingredients, and this is 4 teaspoons of finely chopped garlic, which is quite a bit of garlic when you consider there's only 1 28-ounce can of diced tomatoes. 4 teaspoons of finely chopped garlic. Also, a teaspoon of maras pepper, M-A-R-A-S, which not a pepper I'd heard of, but a really fantastic tasting pepper. And then about a teaspoon of curry powder or one of their spices, H-A-W-A-Y-E, which I hadn't heard of. And the spicy tomato sauce is, it's so good. Just an amazing, amazing dish on anything, plain pasta, whatever. And they also have their chai tea recipe. And I'm not a person that likes chai, which I get, my family makes fun of me endlessly because I like all the ingredients of chai. I just don't like chai. It's really an odd thing. And I've had really good chai. Happy Earth Tea makes they've had great chai. This Sofra cookbook has a chai recipe which makes a chai syrup, and I love all these ingredients. There's black peppercorns. I love those. There's cardamom, cinnamon sticks, nutmeg, ground ginger, grated lemon, a little pinch of saffron, black tea. I love all those things. I just don't love the combination. It's really weird. But if you love chai and you want to make this, the Sofra cookbook has a fantastic recipe. And they like making the syrup rather than really creating the kind of the mix with the tea. They do the syrup, and then you can add it to the tea whenever you want to have a chai. But some fantastic combination of spices, and this one, I don't know, maybe it has more black pepper than most chai teas, but if you want to try a really make your own chai syrup, you should try this one, and I'd be happy to send you the recipe. And you should, if you like Middle Eastern food, you should consider getting this cookbook. Sofra Miz is, and then go visit the bakery cafe when you're in Boston next time. It's a really phenomenal place. And we've made a number of dishes from their cookbook. They also sell spices, and they've got za'atar and many other Middle Eastern spices that are just delicious. So that's a cookbook you might try to find online and have it shipped to you, and maybe get some spices from them at the same time. They are delicious. But I'm hooked on this tomato sauce. Other tomato sauces at this point are just they're ordinary. This one is truly extraordinary. One other recipe thing. We have a recipe for oatmeal cookies that goes back probably close to 100 years. It's my grandmother's Aunt Charlotte, and you know, that's got to be a recipe from, you know, around 1900. And the it's just an oatmeal cookie recipe, but it is a kind of a cake-like recipe instead of a really crisp oatmeal cookie. And the I've been hooked on them for many, many years. But my daughter decided to make a vegan version of them, and that's come out really well. So instead of eggs, you add bananas, which sounds crazy, but that is a fairly common substitute in vegan cooking for eggs. And then sort of moisture, texture, it adds a little bit of sweetness, which is fine for this cookie. And then instead of butter, adds olive oil. So it's a very simple recipe: flour, oats, olive oil, bananas, and you throw in some raisins or chocolate chips, some cinnamon and allspice, some cloves, and it's a really, really good oatmeal cookie recipe. And I could eat these, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack. They're fabulous. And then I have to say, with the coronavirus, I've been more careful with some things. Normally, I would eat every scrap of cake batter and cookie dough I could find, but this past week, she made some chocolate cookies that had eggs in them, and I washed the dish without cleaning the cookie dough out of it, which pretty much broke my heart. I really do love cookie dough. So this vegan oatmeal cookie, I could eat the cookie dough, and then I had this semi-brilliant idea that we should just do half-baked cookies, so that you had a kind of a crust on the outside and the cookie dough on the inside. And I'm sure I'm not the first person to come up with this idea, but it's not a molten chocolate cake at all, but again, more chewy on the inside, and these half-baked cookies were awfully good. She prefers to bake them all the way into the full time for a cookie. So I may have to make my own batch so I can do a larger number of half-baked cookies. But if you like cookie dough and you don't have eggs in the dough, a half-baked cookie is a great idea. It was delicious. She added some candied ginger to a few of them, and then added some dried cherries to a few. So tried multiple variations on this. And again, if you love cookie dough and you don't want to risk salmonella with eating raw eggs, this recipe is really good. If you want details, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. She didn't really write down the recipe the way that she changed the original recipe into a vegan one, but she said she would if anyone wants it. You can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
Eat your spinach, baby, that's the proper thing to do. It'll keep you kind of healthy, too. And what it did for Popeye, it will do for you. Oh, you've got to eat your spinach, baby, to give you lots of TNT. For whenever you're caressing me, then you'll need every vitamin from A to Z.
please take my advice. Oh, kissing is dangerous, doctors all agree. Please take my advice. Don't ever kiss anybody but me. Now you've got to eat your spinach, baby. If you do, you can't go
home. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of For Love of Food. And without sponsors, I wouldn't be able to do this radio show. Let them know that you listen. And those include Rohrbach, our hometown craft brewer since 1991, and really a pretty amazing business over all these years, staying innovative. And you see that with all the different beers that they produce. I think they made 76 different beers last year at Rohrbach's. You know, a bunch of those are experimental small batches, but constantly innovating. And they have they shut down their takeout to kind of revamp things, to shorten the menu, to make things safer for their employees and for their customers. And so they're now offering takeout once more, both locations. That's Buffalo Road, right, and that's just west of Manitow and Buffalo Road, as well as downtown at Railroad Street by the Public Market. Go to Rohrbach's.com to get more details. You can pick up four packs, and they've got cans. There's many options to bring home some of Rohrbach's beer, whether it's the Scotch Ale or Space Kitty, perhaps. A double IPA. You'll find them at grocery stores, and many restaurants carry them. It's also stock up when you go to one of their restaurants and get takeout. It's Rohrbach's.com. Also brought to you by Knapp Winery and Vineyard Restaurant. You can order wine online and have it shipped to you. Knapp is on the west side of Cayuga Lake and can send you a wide variety of wines, or maybe you could send these to a family friend or someone else to boost their spirits, send them some wine. It's at knappwine.com, K-N-A-P-P, knappwine.com. Perhaps some dry rosé, maybe a gorgeous dry red, or Riesling. And again, they make some delicious wines. It's knappwine.com. And also brought to you by Newbury Park Pastries. Kate Schlenker is open today from 11 to 5. If you want to pick up some pot pies, I would call her first to see what she has and to reserve them so she doesn't run out. NewburyParkPastries.com. If you look her up on Facebook, she'll be easy to find in Newbury Park Pastries. And she follows Facebook pretty closely, so that might be a good way to order. And she also will be open tomorrow, as she's been doing for several weeks now. The Brighton Farmers Market is closed for the time being. She's having several of the vendors, including her and her pot pies, at her location on Mushroom Boulevard from 1 to 4, the same time as the Brighton Market usually is held. And that's in the Genesee Regional Market, just off Clay Road. It's kind of opposite where Lori's Natural Foods is, and it's maybe more of the industrial side of the Genesee Regional Market. She's kind of at the end of that street, Mushroom Boulevard. It's almost directly behind Home Depot and Christmas Tree Shop, which are on Jefferson Road. So tomorrow from 1 to 4, she'll be there with some of the other vendors, like Kurt Foreman from Clearview Farms, Felons Farms, also be there, and a couple more pasta classics, Wolfschlegel's maple syrup. So not many vendors. There's several set up outside, several inside to space them out. And again, if you're looking for pot pies in particular, call first and have her set those aside for you. So or check in with her through a message through Facebook, NewburyParkPastries.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food.
I went into a restaurant looking for the cook. I told him I was the editor of a famous etiquette book. The waitress, he was handsome. He wore a powder blue cape. I ordered some Suzette. I said, could you please make that crepe?
Just then the whole kitchen exploded from boiling fat. Food was flying everywhere. I left without my hat.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here for Love of Food. And just this week in the New York Times, Finger Lakes Wine got some press. There were wines from around the world in Eric Asimov's column, 15 Wines Under $15, Inexpensive Bottles for Stay-at-Home Drinking. And he described these these intriguing wines are sometimes quirky, often unusual, all are delightful, whether with the meal tonight or as gifts to those who could use one. Some are made with unfamiliar grapes, grown in unknown places. Why did he choose them? It says, if you're looking for great values under $15, you will not find wines from exalted places that are in high demand. There's no Napa Cabernet Sauvignon, no Willamette Valley Pinot Noir, no Brunello di Montalcino, at least not good ones, he says. That's quoting him. He also says, nor will you find wines that you can put away for years of aging, or it will serve as centerpieces for memorable occasions. But you will find all of these in no list of no particular order to be highly enjoyable wines that will make meals and occasions better, that might bring a smile to somebody who needs one. So, again, there's 15 wines from around the world under $15, and Standing Stone Vineyards, their Finger Lakes Farm Red, is one of these wines. $14.99, just barely under $15. But if you get a case of it, it will be less. I'm pretty sure that Standing Stone, which is now owned by Herman Wiemer, the winery, Herman Wiemer Winery, they probably give discounts on case purchases. What Eric Asimov writes about the Finger Lakes Farm Red, which is a non-vintage wine, by the way, he says, who said every still wine has to be a vintage wine? Blending vintages results in a better wine. Why not mix them up, particularly for inexpensive bottles wherein a terroir expression is not the primary goal? Farm Red takes standard Bordeaux grapes, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Petit Verdot, and adds a good dose of Saporavi, a red grape indigenous to the country of Georgia. Standing Stone, which is now owned by Herman J. Wiemer, a longtime Finger Lakes producer, has 6 acres of Saporavi, which it says is the largest planting outside of Georgia, the country of Georgia. The result is a juicy, slightly exotic, earthy blend with a lightly tannic edge. So I haven't tasted that one yet. Looking forward to trying that in the near future. And I mentioned Saporavi, I think maybe on last week's wine show. There are a number of wineries in the Finger Lakes that produce Saporavi. The best known probably are Standing Stone, which is doing a lot with it, and also Dr. Constantine Frank, which offers, I think they now have maybe a Salmon Run Saporavi as well as their regular Saporavi, and McGregor Vineyards, which they've been using Saporavi in their Black Russian since they started. Black Russian. So the again, Saporavi is a grape that you can find several places in the Finger Lakes, and is we just had the Dr. Frank Saporavi last week for open local wine night. We had Dr. Frank Saporavi with some pizza, and we actually used that spicy tomato sauce I mentioned earlier from Sofra, their cookbook. On this homemade pizza, and it was great. I think the tagline I had was homemade pizza deserves really excellent wine. This is often I hear comments about wine. It's just a pizza wine, meaning inexpensive, and it's, you know, kind of just a wine to have with pizza. No particular, not an interesting wine. Maybe a little bit of sweetness to it sometimes. And so the idea of pizza wine kind of gives you a somewhat negative impression I have of whatever wine that is. So wanted to make the point that homemade wines deserve, or say homemade wines do deserve good pizza, but homemade pizza deserves really good wine. And the Saporavi was really good with it. We also had the Knapp Vineyards Cabernet Franc, and that was delicious. So, again, Saporavi, a grape most people haven't heard of, but something you should go in search of. And many of the wineries in the Finger Lakes are offering shipping deals right now. Tourism is obviously pretty much non-existent at this point for the moment. And so they're doing some curbside pickup, or you can order, and some cases free shipping, in some cases $6 shipping, which is really a bargain. Shipping a case of wine, half a case of wine, is maybe $20 or $30. So you're getting some great bargains on wine shipped to your door. Some of the wineries are just shipping, at least the free shipping offers, just in New York. I saw a note from Shaw Vineyards. They got some national press also recently, and they're offering free shipping, but only in New York. They also ship to California and Texas. Standard rates apply there, but here in New York State, they have free shipping. And I think Shaw was picked out for an article about Pinot Noir from cooler climates. And unfortunately, the article didn't mention that they had a much older vintage, which Shaw Vineyards is renowned for. A small winery, very near Herman J. Wiemer, the west side of Seneca Lake. And Steve Shaw kind of built his reputation around holding wines later until he thinks they're ready, especially white wines, or especially red wines. And so this article about cool climate Pinot Noir had wines that were 2016. There were a couple of those, 2017 mainly, some 2018. And his stuck out as 2012. So 4 years older than the oldest wine in this article about Pinot Noir. And 2012 was a crazy year in our area. That was the year that we had a week of 80-degree weather in March. We just went through March. Didn't have any 80-degree days this March. We had like a full week of 80-degree days, which is kind of fun for people. It's not so fun for plants and trees and vines that then have to try to get through spring without any frost, because that really brought them into flower and grapes started growing, and we could easily have had a severe killing frost wipe things out. We didn't, luckily. Minor frost, but it didn't wipe things out, and so it was a very long growing season. We added basically an extra month and a half to the growing season in 2012, so the ripeness of grapes was pretty extraordinary that year. And you should go in search of some of these 2012 vintages, which are mostly gone. And Shaw is one of the few to hold their wines this long. And as 2012 is the vintage that they're selling right now. So might be a reason to get some of the Shaw wines and save them a few more years. They will get even better. I've had some 10, 20-year-old Finger Lakes red wines that were really delicious. In a cool climate, high acidity, the Rieslings and things, those store really well for a number of years, but the Reds can too. That isn't always the case, but for many wines, really delicious. I did hear, or it was a post from Dan Mitchell, the national sales manager for Fox Run Vineyards. He found a bottle of Catawba from, it was a non-vintage Catawba. Judging by the label, he was guessing it was about 1973. He found it in a barn, still full, and I thought he was going to open it a week ago, and he ended up not opening it. He doesn't have much confidence that it's any good. It probably isn't. Catawba is the main grape behind Red Cat, and it's possible that the sweetness in it has preserved it a little bit, because it was probably a fairly sweet Catawba. It was from Yates Vineyards Winery, 1973 or so. But being stored in a barn for lots of years, is really surprising the bottle's still intact. Not the ideal place to store wine. In case you are looking for a place to store wine, a barn is really not a good idea. So unlikely to be any good, but I can't wait to hear when he does finally open it what it's like. But in general, Finger Lakes wines that are more modern, those can store really, really well. And so if you get some shipped to you from wineries like Fox Run, Anthony Road, a couple of our sponsors, or from Western New York, Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, for example, gets some extra to share with family and friends, but maybe a couple bottles to put in the cellar and wait 10 years, and open them and see what they're like, or maybe get a case of. Of a Riesling, and open one bottle each year, and 12 years from now, you'll open that final bottle and have a notebook of how it's changed over those years. But it might be the best Riesling you've ever had, that 12-year-old Riesling. So stock up on some wine, support our local businesses. As I said earlier, local independent businesses, including wineries, breweries, distilleries, restaurants, etc., are absolutely struggling right now. And you can basically give them a hug, give them a show of support by ordering some wine to be shipped to you, by buying a gift card. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It's just a pat on the back, a reminder that you're thinking about them and you're looking forward to going back to them. You want them to be around when this lockdown is, and these restrictions are lifted slowly. So and if you have a favorite business out there, send them an email, place an order, and maybe get a gift card. The phone number, if you have comments, questions, 585-346-3000. Last weekend, we talked to Chris Carlson, who is online, spiritsreview.com. He is an expert on spirits and has been working with a number of distilleries over the last couple weeks now to make hand sanitizer. And this is something going on around the country. I have to say that the fact that doctors are making their own face masks and distilleries are making hand sanitizer, I'm not sure how a country that is trying to send people to Mars can't produce these things in quantity and relieve these shortages. After this many weeks, but you know, people got to have these things, so they're finding ways to make them, and local distilleries are able to produce the alcohol that's needed for the hand sanitizers. It's World Health Organization guidelines for these hand sanitizers, and so there's probably at least a dozen distilleries around the Rochester area, Western New York, that are either now or soon to be producing hand sanitizers. Some of them in quite large quantities. Black Button Distillery is producing something like 10,000 bottles a day for local hospitals, and now they're producing enough of it that some of it is available for sale to the public. They can't ship it because of the alcohol in it, so you can pick it up, but call first, check with your local distillery and see if they have it, but again, you have to pick it up. It can't be shipped. So local distilleries here really doing an amazing job to provide something that is critically important for hospitals, doctors' offices, but also any essential business that needs to stay open should have some hand sanitizer, and it just hasn't been available. It's just gone. So Chris Carlson, one of the key people who's been behind this effort to organize the ingredients, the methods for doing this, and it's made a massive difference here in our local community, and inspired a lot of other distilleries to do the same. So we'll have that interview up in the archives hopefully later today, the one we had last week with Chris Carlson on the wine show. And you can reach me here if you have comments, questions, want more information. Email me anytime, michael@saverlife.com. You can call 585-346-3000. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
Scarborough Fair, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of For Love of Food. Those include the Lombardi's Gourmet in Fairport. And if you want to stock up on a bunch of meals to have this week, I would get some of their marinara sauce, some of the 300 kinds of pasta that they have, some of the spinach pesto that Mary makes, some of the frozen raviolis, frozen gnocchi. They've got tons of things for you to have some delicious meals over the next couple of weeks. And unlike the grocery stores, they haven't been running out. They've got lots of pastas. And it's these smaller grocery stores that, in general, over the last couple of weeks, have had a pretty decent selection and not the shortages of the major grocery stores. So stop in on Lombardi's and check in with them, LombardisGourmet.com. LombardisGourmet.com. They're in Fairport, just north of the railroad tracks, open Monday through Saturday. Also brought to you by Max of Eastman Place, Max Chop House, Aunt Rosie's, and Tony Galassi has closed the restaurants for a couple of weeks, but get a gift card to help support them, and you'll be able to use that gift card at any of those three restaurants maybe use it as a gift for someone as a thank you, or for you and your family to enjoy some amazing food. Go to their website for details, maxrochesterny.com. Again, maxrochesterny.com. Also brought to you by Dr. Constantine Frank, Vinifera Wine Cellars. And you should order some wine from them for this shutdown time period. And also get a copy of the biography of Dr. Frank to read while you're enjoying some of that wine. It is a riveting story about his time in Ukraine and then here in this country. And it is some cool photos, some great details. Tom West did an amazing amount of research. So, again, drfrankwines.com. Order some wine there, maybe to send to family and friends, maybe some to deliver to your doorstep, and get a copy of that biography. drfrankwines.com. Mayor's Paint and Hardware is open. It is certainly an essential business. If you've had anything break or you need parts for repairs, check in with Mayor's Paint and Hardware, the corner of Winton and Blossom. And it's mayorhardware.com. Some great people to help you. And certainly hardware stores are an essential business. And just down the road from them, Captain Jim's Seafood Market is always done takeout, and that's available Tuesday through Saturday. And of course, some amazing fried fish at Captain Jim's. It's right near the end of East Main Street, where it ends at Winton, and just around a corner from Mayor Hardware, Captain Jim's Seafood Market. Brought to you by Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Road Wine Company. They are on the west side of Seneca Lake, both shipping wine, and Anthony Road has just added a bubbly. This is a forced carbonation sparkling wine, and I haven't had a chance to try it yet. Can't wait to sample that. Go to anthonyroadwine.com to get more information, and also Fox Run Vineyards just up the road from them, also shipping. And a wide variety of wines available. Just opened their port style wine a couple of nights ago, and that is so delicious. They also do a tawny port style wine, so look for those and dry reds, Rieslings, etc. from both Anthony Road and Fox Run are delicious, and they'll deliver them right to your door. That's foxrunvineyards.com, anthonyroadwine.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food.
Euphoria Smooth. What is the more handsome? The swallow or chew. Still worth the game's ransom. What is it we dream about? What brings on a sigh?
Piled peaches and cream about.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food. And as I said earlier with Lombardi's Gourmet Foods in Fairport, the smaller markets, Lurie's, Abundance, probably Haremas up in Hagedorn's, which is up in Webster. I haven't been there, but I'm guessing that they have probably more on their shelves than the big grocery stores. I've found both Lurie's and Abundance and Lombardi's, not very crowded. So there's not very many people there in general. And I went to Lurie's a week ago. The parking lot was nearly full, but inside there, I don't know why, but there weren't that many people. And when I'd been in some of the big grocery stores recently, they were just like a crazy number of people. A feeding frenzy of shopping, and I found it much more relaxed, and really much less busy at these smaller food markets, the ethnic markets, as well, places like some of the Asian markets, the Halal Market, which is up on Route 104 in Irondequoit. There's lots of them. The Indian markets, several of those. You'll find all kinds of rice and lentils, and you can eat really inexpensively with some fantastic spices by going to some of these ethnic markets. And again, they're not, from my experience, not nearly as busy as the big grocery stores. Wear a mask. Encourage other people to wear a mask. Maybe post a photo of yourself online wearing a mask. We can help flatten this curve by wearing masks. And finally, the CDC has come around to this after watching other countries flatten their curves with almost universal mask wearing. It is not mandatory, but again, your mask protects other people. Their masks protect you. And the more you read about the coronavirus, it seems like the, you know, I read a couple examples of churches where a lot of people got infected, and you think about a church and everyone's singing, and all of that going out into the air. It seems like just almost a ideal in a negative way to spread the virus. So wear a mask and stay home if you can. We'll at some point here finally get the testing rolled out on a wider basis. We have to. It's the only way that we're going to solve this. Is to get testing done on a broad basis. Other countries are doing it. We just can't seem to manage it for some reason. And until we do, we're going to have to continue this lockdown to a large degree, which is hurting businesses. But we can't afford to spread the virus more than it has already. So, again, wear a mask, stay home. You don't need to wear a mask in your home if you have been staying home. But if you are constantly out doing things, you might want to wear a mask even in the home to protect family members who are staying home and are not going out potentially exposing themselves. It's tricky. Read about the science of it. There's lots of information out there. As I've said previous weeks, listen to the doctors, to the nurses, maybe not so much to the politicians. It's the doctors and the nurses that are going to are facing the brunt of this, and that's who I listen to. And they have some pretty dire warnings and reasons to stay home. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back in the next hour with Discover the Finger Lakes. Talk a little bit about some of the beautiful areas that you can go and visit and spend time out in nature during this shutdown period. And then tomorrow I'll be back with The Grapevine, 9 to 11. Stay tuned for Discover the Finger Lakes here on WYSL 1040.